But I want to talk to you today about something called He is Lord. And I want to tell you something today. He is Lord not only while you're on this earth, but He is Lord when we're standing beside your casket. He is still your Lord. And we'll talk about that. I want to read it. Go ahead and put the first scripture up. Romans says, for none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to it. We thought, well, we die, you're on your own. No, no, nobody lives to your own. We know that. We say we're a part of a body. But at the same time, the Bible says none of us dies to ourselves. Not only do we not live to ourselves, we're living, but we do not die to ourselves or to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And watch this. Same way when we're living, we live to the Lord. The same thing is true is when we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. All right? For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. And I want to talk to you this morning on that theme, Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes. Be the great teacher. Lord, speak through me. Lord, we say unto you, you are the teacher. And Lord, as they called you that many times in the Gospels, they would run up to you and say, teacher. And so, Lord, today we pray, open our ears and our hearts. Open our eyes that we can understand and see. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Look at somebody say, he's Lord both of the dead and of the living. Would you say it, somebody? You can be seated today. Evolution, I don't believe that you can really be a Christian and believe in total evolution. I believe in an idea of evolution, that things evolve. I understand that fact, have no quarrels with that. But you cannot believe in total evolution, you know, coming from the goop and then from where we came from to where. You cannot believe in total evolution and also believe in Christianity. Because believe in total evolution denies the fall of man. That man was at a plane and that he fell. Otherwise, you begin to believe that he started from nothing, from a goop and an electrical charge or something occurred. From that occurred, then began to be the migration. And humans evolved from a simple life form where we simply blend back into the physical universe when we die. And that is that a person in total evolutional immersion believes that you literally, when you die, that's the end. You just merge back into, the cosmos and you're off into nothingness. You cease to exist. And evolution, as I said, denies the fall of man. If there was no fall, then there's no need for redemption or a savior. So if you believe that there was no fall, and it began and man evolved and kept evolving and is evolving today, then you deny the need of a savior. You deny the idea of sinfulness. And man is simply physical and he evolved from animals. Hence, when he dies, he simply ceases to exist. The second group is a group that believes in something called reincarnation. And that is, this group believes that that when you die, it's a re-embodiment of into another human form. A person dies, but they're born again to another body to live another life, to try to get better, you know, try to grow and become a little bit perfect more in the next life. And there's something close akin to that called transmigration, which literally means when you die, you can come back as a bug, you know, or a cow or a rat. Some countries, you know, will not touch certain animals because they believe it could be Aunt Susie, Uncle Joe. Come on, somebody. And on and on and on. And so, and they believe reincarnation, though, denies the atonement and the sacrifice of Jesus, because by the blood we are purged from our sins, not by becoming another person and then trying to become perfect in the next life. And don't make it there, we'll do the next life. Hebrews 9 and 27 says this, just as it is appointed for man to die, everybody say die once, not 29 times, not 30 times, because you are appointed to die one time, appointed to die once. And so it's appointed. The third one is something called soul sleep. And some people believe that when a person dies, you go into a sleep-like state and you'll know nothing until the resurrection. Sort of like last night when you laid your head on your pillow, most of you didn't know another thing until the alarm clock went off this morning. And it was like there had no time passed. And you simply went to bed, you woke up in the morning, and it was night when you went to bed, it was morning when you woke up. And there's many groups that believe that when a person dies, they simply go to sleep. And the next thing they know is a trumpet's going to sound, they're going to be woken up, and they're going to be facing the resurrection. And death, they say, is described throughout the scriptures as sleep, which is true. Look at Daniel 12 says, "And many of those who do what? Sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some of them to everlasting life and some of them to shame and everlasting contempt." Go to the next scripture. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all what? Sleep, but we shall all be changed." We got that in the nursery. Come on, somebody. And so what we've got is they believe that death is literally a sleep. It's going to sleep. And I ask this question, is that correct? Because some of these things you need to know. You need to understand when somebody at work says this or somebody brings this up to you. You know, that is rain, right? That's rain happening. So you're going nowhere anyway. So just enjoy the teaching. They say it's sleep, that when you die, you just go to sleep. When you're standing beside a casket of a loved one, they're sleeping. That literally, they're just asleep. They don't know anything. They don't know that time is passing. All they're doing is waiting on the resurrection. But is there consciousness when a person, when you, the day will come, if the Lord tarries, we will all face it? And I want to talk about it because it's one of those issues. It's the elephant in the room. Nobody wants to talk. Don't talk about death. I don't like talking about it. It's going to happen. It's happened to numbers of your loved ones, and it will happen to you. It will happen to me one day. I will not be here for eternity. Let me know, I will not be standing here for eternity. The day will come when I will face it. And let me tell you something, because death today is totally different than what death was before Jesus Christ came. That's why we can talk about it now, and we need to talk about it. Because death will come. When you're standing beside the casket of a loved one, it will help you understand and give you the peace that you need to know what it is. Is there consciousness? Is death really a sleep-like state? Can there be consciousness when a person is separated from their body? And I believe their question. The Bible says He is Lord both of the dead and of the living. And listen, you need to know that because the day you breathe your last breath on earth, He does not stop being your Lord. He's still your Lord. Whether you're dead or whether you're alive, He is still your Lord. And so it's not just while you're living, but even more so when you're dead. Let me ask you, let me make a few statements and we'll start. Man is not just physical, flesh and blood. But man, number one, I've got this. Man has a dual nature. You know this, but I want to home in on it. You have a dual nature. You are not just one thing. You are dual. You have a spiritual part of you. I'm not going to divide that part of you. Let me just lump that together, your soul and your spirit. But you have a spiritual part of you, and you have a physical part of you. You're not just, look at these scriptures we'll read about them. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed." There's one part of you. "Then He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living." There was a season. There was a moment. There was, I don't know how long God took from the time He formed man until He breathed into him. Could have been just seconds. But there was a season when man was just an empty body, empty shell. Adam was there, and he looked just like Adam. He had eyeballs, he had ears, he had hands, he had feet, he had skin on, he had bones, he had a heart, he had all those things. But there was a part of him, he wasn't alive yet. And the Bible says God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So there's two parts. Go to the next scripture. "But it is the spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand." It's the spirit of man. Notice what he likens your spirit to. Your spirit is the breath of the Almighty. You're not just a physical body, But God breathed into Adam, and it's been passed on to generation to generation. We're all the sons of Adam. We've been passed on to us that in this physical body, there has been breathed into us the breath of God, the breath of life, and that has brought us into life. Look at the next scripture. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel, thus declares the Lord, who stretched out the heavens and founded the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Formed the spirit of man within him. Within you is a different part than the outward part. You have an inward part, you have an outward part. All right? Next one. Do not fear those, here's what Jesus said, who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body. You notice the two parts. Jesus said, you can have people can beat you up all day long, but they can't touch your soul. Because you're two parts. Don't fear the devil. Don't fear him that can bring sickness. Don't fear him that come into torment. Don't fear him. Because he can't do anything to the other part of you. You've got a dual nature, your part. Go to the next one. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the what? You got a spirit that's willing and a flesh that's weak. That's why never ever give in to your body when you ought to go pray. Because your flesh can be weak, but your spirit is willing. And he says those two parts. Look at the next one. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are more than just flesh and blood. You are not just one nature. You are dual nature. You've got a spirit within you, and you've got a flesh without. You've got an inner man, you've got an outer man. Look what Paul says. So we do not lose heart, though the outer self is wasting away. Come on, all the old people say amen today. Though the outer man, the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. That means even though you know somebody that's got Alzheimer's, doesn't mean anything about their inner man. They may be old and feeble and can't talk and remember. That's just the outer man wasting away. Their inner man is being renewed day by day. It may not be able to express itself through the old body it's in. It may have gotten old, the thinking, the process. One day they'll shed that outer body and their spirit will be free again. But they're not going down on the inside. They may be going down on the outside, but not the inside. Question number two then, what is death? Because we all experience it. We've all been to the casket. We've all been to funerals. We'll be tomorrow with Doug's dad. What is death? Because every one of us in here will face it. What is death? Is it an ending? Is it a step in reincarnation? Is it a sleep? Is it annihilation? What is it? James 2 says that death is also, and you can see this, is spoken of as a departure. James 2 and 26 is one of the best definitions of death. For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead, so faith also is from works is dead. Notice what he says. As the body, apart from the spirit. Remember when God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, his human body was complete. Eyeballs there, hands there, ears there, membranes there. All of it was there. But he was not living yet until God breathed into him the breath of what? The breath of life. And I want you to notice this because at death, what part of us dies? Because we call it death, dying. But what part of us dies? What part? Yeah, not the spirit. What? The body dies because it grows old. It wastes away. It begins to get feeble. It begins to break down. It's a body that was in the beginning created not to do that, but because of sin, death entered. And now you've got to understand that death does not mean the end of you. Death means it's simply a separation. Death is not some ending. Death is simply the time when you separate your spirit from your body. And the death, only the thing that dies is your body dies. Because it only lives because of what's the living thing in it, you. Your body is not you. In heaven, I got a great body. Come on, somebody. It's 6 feet five, big. And no, it's not you. Your body is not you. You're housed in it. It's a tent. It's an enclosure. It's not you. One day it will die. From dust it came, to dust it shall return. And so death is when you leave your earth body. Death is when you separate from your human body. That is what we call death. It's not an ending. It's not a reincarnation. It's not a transmigration. It's when you finally are going to leave. It's a departure from this body to another realm. It's going. So literally, it's a departure of the spirit from the body. Look at 2 Peter 1 and listen to what it says. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know the putting off of my body will be soon, as the Lord Jesus has made it clear to me. He looked at death as a departure. He looked at death at the day I'm going to put off this body. Soon I'm going to leave this body. I'm going to put off this body. I'm about to leave. It's a departure. Your body is spoken of as a tent. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5. We know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. He wasn't morbid. He just understood that death wasn't an ending. It was just when I leave this body. It's just when I separate, when I finally put down this tent, when I break the pegs, I let go of the cords, and I get rid of this tent that limits me to earth, and my soul nature is separated from my body. Everybody say amen, would you? Luke 23, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, and when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he did what? You notice Jesus at the point of death. And you know what he's liking it to? He said, it's the separation of my spirit from my body. And so he looks at his point of death and says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he breathed his last. And what happened? The separation occurred. He gave up the ghost. He gave up his spirit nature. And his spirit nature left his body. And his body without his spirit nature dies. He never died on this. Number three then. Is there consciousness when the spirit leaves the body? If I were to die right now of a heart attack, I'd just drop down dead. Would I cease to know anything? When you're with a loved one and they breathe their last, do they cease to know anything? The day will come when you will breathe your last. Will you cease to know anything? And let me tell you what the Bible says exactly. 1 Corinthians 12, listen to what Paul said. I know a man in Christ. He's talking about himself, but he's doing it in third person. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Notice what he says here. It's an interesting thing. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Do you read what Paul said? Do you understand what he's saying there? He said, 14 years ago, I was caught up to heaven. But he said, but let me explain something to you. I don't know whether I was in my body or if I was out of my body. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me the Apostle Paul believed he could have his spirit could separate from his body and he still feel the same things as if he was in his body. In medicine, they have a term called missing limb syndrome, which literally is where someone will lose a limb, but they'll still feel a pain in that limb. they'll feel an itch in that limb. I won't go into it all. But Paul says, I was caught up into heaven 14 years ago, and I can't tell you whether he took me literally or he took me out of my body. I had an out-of-body experience. That tells me that he experienced the same things he did. He couldn't tell whether he was in his body or out. I believe when you die, you're not going to feel like a round blob or, you know, the Casper the Friendly Ghost. You're going to feel like square or just a blob or floating. I believe you're going to feel exactly what you feel right now. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Is there consciousness between death and resurrection? Look at Luke 20. There was a group in the New Testament that believed death was the end. No resurrection. When you died, you that was the end of you. They were called the Sadducees. And I always say, because they were pretty sad, you see. All right? They didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in nothing. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they ask him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote that if a man's brother dies having a wife, no children. Now listen, I've always thought about this woman. I've always thanked God I didn't marry this woman. Come on, somebody, everybody say amen. Because every husband she had bit the dust. All right, wrote that the man's brother dies, yeah, right, no children. Man must raise off his brother. There was seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without kids. And the second. Third took her. Likewise, all seven took her as their. How many think if I was number seven, I would think, I don't think I want to marry this woman. Just a thought. Afterward, the woman also died. No doubt. In the resurrection, therefore, and what they're saying is, in your resurrection, whose wife will she be in that she's married all seven of them? Can you imagine? They all come up, all seven husbands. Which one, who's going to be her? All seven had her. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, the sons of this age marry, given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain the age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are they given in marriage. For they cannot die anymore because they are equal to the angels of the sons of God being the sons of resurrection. But notice this. But here's what Jesus said. I want you to get this. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord, remember he's Lord both of the dead and of the living. Jesus says, but you've missed the point, guys. You don't believe in a resurrection. You don't believe in life after death. Here's what he says. He recalls Moses at the burning bush, and here's what he says to him. Showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Remember, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has long been dead, hundreds of years. And he calls him, though, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, he's not the God of the dead, but of the living for what? Say it again, for what? All live to him. It may look like on our side they're dead, but to him, they all live unto him. Death is not an end. It's a passage. Death is not an end. It's a separation. Death is not an end. It's not a reincarnation. It's not a soul sleep. For all live unto the Lord. The day I die, it's just my body giving way to my spirit is loose from my body. And I'm as alive in that moment as I was 10 minutes before. Come on, give him a good clap offering today. He's alive. All live. Is there consciousness? You know, between, literally, he's the God of the dead and the living, for all live. Jesus saying Abraham and Isaac was alive to God. Death is not an end. Look at what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians. For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus. For who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we are alive. We might live with him. Whether you are alive or whether you are asleep. Their New Testament term for dying. Whether you're alive or you're asleep, you're going to live with him. Can I tell you, I'm living with Jesus every day right now. And when I kick the bucket one day, I'm going to still live with him every moment and every second of the day. I'm not going in some far off part of the nebulous black hole somewhere sucked in and that's the end of me. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm going to live with Jesus. The moment my eyes close in death and my spirit departs, I'm still going to live with him because he's going to be my Lord, whether I'm alive or Lord, whether I'm dead. I'm going to love him and serve him. He's going to be there. In Luke 16, he tells a story. He said there was a rich man who was clothed in purple, fine linen, feasted sumptuously every day, and gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from rich man's table. Moreover, even the dog came, licked his sores, and the poor man died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, being in torment. Notice this. Immediately after this man's death, both of them were conscious. Right after Jesus is telling the story of what happened to these two men, right after they died, and both of them were conscious. Both of them felt sensations. Both of them felt comfort and pain. Both of them had memories. Both of them remembered from whence they came. Both of them knew. Both of them could talk. Both of them could communicate. Both of them realized there was a realization, there was knowing. And you can read the whole story. But both of them knew everything. They were conscious. So let me tell you something. The day your body, your spirit leaves your body, you're not going into nothingness. You're not going into oblivion. You're going to be as real and as alive then as you were 10 minutes before you kicked the bucket. If you lost a loved one, don't you ever think it was an end. They were as alive the next minute as they were the minute before. They were just alive unto him. As alive as they were before, they were alive unto him. They knew that. No. So where do the dead go, though? This question, go on to the next, you can go on through. It says, where are the dead? Where does the dead go? Well, without taking a lot of time this morning, let me tell you, number one, the body from dust it came. Aren't you glad the angels didn't have pledge? Because in the garden, the Bible says God created man from the what? Aren't you glad they didn't dust the garden and there'd been none of us? And so he created us from the dust or from the ground. And the Bible says from dust you came and from dust you're going to go. You can buy all the stuff you want to buy and keep your skin looking great. But I just got bad news for you. It's going back to dust. They can embalm you and you can last for a few hundred years, but you're going back to dust eventually. And so you need to know that. The spirit, but where does your spirit part then go? In the story of Lazarus and the rich man, it showed that the evil goes to a place of torment. That's totally different teaching, a different time, but there is a place where they go to torment. But where do the saved go? The majority of us in here this morning, where do the saved go? What happens to us when we pass? What transpires in our life? What happens when we pass? Let me just show you this in ending. 2 Corinthians says, yes, we have good courage, and we'd rather be away from the body, and where will we be? There's not some intermediate place you have to pray me out of. Come on, somebody. There's not some place, what's it called? There's no purgatory that you pray me out of. It's nonsense. It's made up. It's storybook. It's just something to get more money out of people. That's all the thing was made. When you die, if you know Jesus, you're going to be away from your body. You're not going into some nebulous holding tank. To be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Look at the next one. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Why is that? If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for you. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to what? What's that called? Death. And what happens then? What happened to him if death occurred in his life? To be with Christ. Let me tell you what death occurs. You know, death is a serious subject. But it's a subject that you can have courage about. Because when you depart to be with the Lord. Look at the next one. He said to him, truly I say to you, this is a thief on the cross. Jesus says, this I say to you today. You're going to breathe your last today. Your blood is trickling out. You're going to suffocate in just a few minutes. But let me tell you something. The moment you breathe your last, you will be with me in paradise. Come on, somebody. Look at this. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord, Lord, do what? Receive my spirit. Look at the next one. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had done. And they cried out with consciousness, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge and avenge the blood of those who dwell on the earth? And then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. Let me tell you something. When you die, it's not an end. When you die, I think this will help you understand this. Look at Thessalonians. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. Here's what he said. A lot of, you know, they didn't have the internet. Like, they couldn't Google death. They couldn't listen to sermons. They were, many of them were pagans out of culture that they grew up in. And death had been, under the Greek culture and under the Roman culture, had been all kinds of beliefs and theories and understandings. And Paul writes and he says, now, brother, I don't want you to be uninformed about that funeral you had last week, where your loved one is, where your mom is, where your dad, where your son, your daughter, where your uncle, I don't want you to be uninformed about where your husband, where your wife. I don't want you to be uninformed. Here's what he says. About those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, though Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Now get this. Because he's going to bring the spirit part of us back with him if we go on before he returns. And he says that. He says, you're going to, now, I think it'll also, but not only was there an inner man, there was an outer man that got put in the ground and got returned back to dust. Notice what he says. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left unto the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I'm going to tell you, if I know the Lord is coming, guess where I'm headed? I'm going to the local graveyard. That's where I'm going. Every time I have gone to a graveyard, I said, one day this will be the most exciting place on planet Earth. Because they're going to come up out of the ground. He's bringing their spirit. He's going to reunite their spirit with their body. He's going to transform their body as he's raising it. But I said, the graveyard is going to be the most exciting place there is. It says, then we who are alive and who are left, we're going to be second in line. We caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Death is not an end. Death will not do it. I like this. Knowing this, what death is and where I go at death, it's taken the fear out of death. And notice what Paul said in Corinthians 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Something once concealed, now revealed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead. Let me tell you, it's not going to happen gradually. There's going to be a generation. It's going to be standing right here, and this old body of mine is going to be, in the time it takes you to wet your eyeball, you're going to look down and you're going to have a new body. Come on, somebody. You're going to be transformed from an earthly body to a heavenly body, from one that's mortal to an immortal body, one that you're going to have for the rest of your existence. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. That means that old dust, that old thing that you've gone down, is going to be raised up. It's going to be transformed to a brand new immortal body and slapped back together with your spirit. And we shall be changed, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? And O death, where is your sting? You know what he likens it to? He likens death to a bee. I don't know about you, there's some big bees in Louisiana. Sometimes you can go out at night and there's a big light on somewhere and you see some of the hugest creatures in the world flying around. You want a shotgun, you know, and shoot those things. And Paul says death was like that. Death was one of those big bees that buzzes around you and on and on and on. But he said, but here's the key. He has taken the stinger out of the bee. The sting has been taken away. The bee still flies around. I don't know about you. I don't like it. I'm still a little apprehensive even. But you know what? I've got courage because, you know, the first time I learned about carpenter bees, that they can't sting you, we got our tennis rackets out and started playing tennis with it. Come on, somebody. I didn't know they. And you know what? That's how death is now. I don't know about you. I'm still a little apprehensive about whatever's flying around my head. I don't like it. But I'm not terrified of death anymore. Because it's lost its stinger. For me, to live is profitable, but for me to die is gain. For to die is to be with. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? Give him a good clap off for this morning, would you? Timothy, he wrote, Timothy says, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished what? Who did what? He abolished what? And brought to light, and brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let me tell you what the gospel is, good news. The gospel is about the story of abolishing death. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if he liveth, he shall never die. He has abolished death. Jesus has abolished death first. Musicians, come on up this morning, would you? Death, where is your sting? You know, one time I remember somebody walked into a hospital when W.C. Fields was in the hospital dying. When they walked in, to their amazement, W.C. Fields had a Bible and was turning the pages, reading the Bible. And one of them looked at W.C. and said, I didn't know you were a religious man. And W.C. Fields says, I'm not. I'm looking for a loophole. Let me tell you a story. He didn't find any. You know why? You know, Ecclesiastes says it this way. Listen. No man has power to retain the spirit. Did you know it's been appointed unto you to die one day? The Bible says you have an appointment that you cannot cancel. You might cancel your dentist appointment. You might cancel your doctor's appointment. You might cancel, you know, your ball game, your tennis match. You might cancel lots of things. You're not going to cancel your appointment with death. It's been appointed unto you to die once. Unless the Lord comes back first, you've been appointed for death. It says, no man has power to cancel his appointment. That means that's what death is. It's a separation of your spirit from your body. No man has power to retain the spirit on the day of your death. You can't command, no spirit, stay in my body, stay. Nobody can do that. It's when your time comes, you don't have the power to retain it. Or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from that war. You know, sometimes you get drafted, you get in battle, and you got an excuse to get out of the war. I just had jury duty, and they asked, everybody's got an excuse to get out of jury duty. You should have seen half the crowd lined up, started telling them stories and stories and stories. But in the day of death, there's no discharge from that war. You don't get by. There's no discharge. One of the greatest escape artists of all time was a man by the name of Houdini. Houdini would be shackled and blindfolded and keyed behind his back and all this, put in a big container, dropped into rivers and places. And then miraculously, you would see him come to the top. Just when you thought he's dead, he's gone. He would be put in jail cells and he would get out of a jail cell that was supposed to be unbreakable. You could never get out of it. One shackling after another and big things of water, and he would escape them. But as he grew older, he grew more unwise. And because at the end of his life, he told his wife and he announced it that his greatest escape would be he would escape death. Escape everything else. Everything man could throw at him, he had escaped. And when he was near death, he said, my last and greatest escape will be, I will escape death. I don't know what it is on the other side, but when I get on, I will escape it. And so he gave his wife a code word. And under oath, they agreed she would tell no one, no kids, no relative, no, she would tell nobody the code word. And the day came when he did pass and he died. And for years, she would go from one seance to the next, waiting for that code word to be said. So she would know her husband, the great escape artist Houdini, had escaped death. And after year upon year upon year, no word ever came. She finally disclosed everything. You know what? There's no discharge from that war. If you don't know Jesus, you've never come to the place where you've accepted him. You've never turned your life over. Let me tell you, he's not abolished death for you. Though he has, it's not applicable to you until you receive it. It's like the old pardons they used to talk about, where a pardon, remember the man on death row received a pardon from the President of the United States. His family got together and knew somebody, got the President to pardon him. And the man on death row turned it down, said, I will not take it. The family persisted, took it to court. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court rendered this verdict. A pardon is only in effect if the one to be pardoned will receive it. Since he rejected it, then he will die. And he sent, and he was died executed. Let me tell you something about the pardon of the Lord. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But here's the key. Whoever believes in him, whoever receives the pardon, death will be abolished for you. You don't have to worry about on your deathbed trying to find a loophole. You're not going to have to think about how I'm going to escape. You won't want to escape. You're going to be in the presence of the Lord, to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. I want you to bow your heads this morning. I want to ask you that question. Have you ever come to the place where you know that if you were to die right now and we stood beside your casket this afternoon or tomorrow, this week sometime, have you ever come to that place where you know that I would be with the Lord? Do you know that? And if you don't know that for sure, then that tells me you don't. You're not. Because when you know, it's like me asking Terry, are you married? I said, well, I think I am. I don't know. I think I'm married. Yeah, I think I'm married. And you say, hey, that man's not. Yeah, that man does. And the same way is be married to the Lord. That's what the Bible likens our relationship, that we are married. We're married to him. He's our groom. And it's just like this. If I ask you, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is he the Lord of your life? The only way he'll be the Lord of your Lord to you in death is if he's the Lord to you in life. Because he is Lord both of the dead and of the living. All live unto him. But the only way he'll be the Lord in death is if he's Lord in life. And I'd ask you, is he the Lord of your life? Is he the Lord of your life today? Is he your Lord today? Because if he's your Lord in life, he'll be your Lord in death. If you live with him now, you will live with him then. But if you just know about him and you just come in and you know you're good as anybody else, you fooled yourself, and death will be like the rich man. You'll be in torment when you die. You'll not cease to exist. You're not just going to go through this life. Live it and get it all the gusto you can. You will have to face judgment. Pointed unto you once to die, and then after that, the judgment. God will judge you. So this morning, I want to ask you, if you've never made him Lord of your life, it costs you everything. It will cost you everything. It's not easy. And it's not just start coming to church. It will cost you. It'll cost you everything. You've got to give him everything. You've got to lay it down. You've got to be willing to give everything to him. Turn it all over to him and say, God, I want you in my life. And if you say go, I'll go. If you say stay, I'll stay. I will obey you. I'm going to follow you. I want to know you. Right now, the Bible says the power of the cross. Jesus died on the cross, not for himself, but for you. Not for himself, but for you. He took all of your sin on the cross. And that's why he had to die. That's how the cross has anything to do with you. Because on that cross, everybody lived before Jesus, everybody lives after Jesus. He took all of their sin on the cross. And he was judged. He was judged by God Almighty. He took our punishment, our place. And that's why today the cross means something. Jesus dying on the cross means something to you. because it has to do with whether you're going to make heaven your home or you'll end up in torment the rest of your existence. And this morning what you do is a great exchange. You exchange your life for His. You exchange your place for His. You say, thank You for dying in my place. I receive it. The pardon that the president has signed, the president of the universe has signed it. Now you have to, as many as believed in Him, them gave you the power to become a son of God. This morning what you do is you reach out to Jesus. Thank You for dying in my place. I yield my whole existence to You. Turn it over to You, Lord. And I'm Yours. And so this morning, if you've never done that, now's your chance. You're not here by accident. God's brought you here. You're not going to escape death. No, not Houdini couldn't do it. The greatest escape artist ever lived could not do it. And you cannot do it either. And the day will come. He said, I'll do it later. No, you won't. Today is the day of salvation. If your neck has not become too stiff, now's the time. If God is knocking on the door of your heart, don't you dare walk out of here. Don't you dare say, I'll do it next week. You won't. Your heart will be cooler. It'll be cold. You won't do it. If God is, it is so, so precious what God is doing in your heart right now. And there's, listen, He knocks once, twice, but listen, don't ever put off what God's doing right now, because you may not have another chance. You may not have another opportunity. Today is your day. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I surrender. I give it all up. Lord, I ask You to save me. Change me. Give me the power to change. And let me tell you something. You're not just in your own strength anymore. God will give you something that will help you stand against and stand up and change. He will change your heart. And if that's you, I want you just to cry out to God. Just say, He's a great doctor. He knows what you need. Just say, Jesus, change me. Jesus, touch me. Jesus, I come before You right now. I ask You to save me, Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that You took them on Calvary's cross. And this morning, I receive that. I receive the pardon. I receive it. Father, right now, I pray the great exchange is taking place in hearts. Thank You what You're doing in people's lives right now for eternity's sake. That in heaven, we will see You there. We love You, Lord. Everybody say amen. Can you give Lord a good clap offering this morning? Come on, give Him a great clap offering. You got a song? Everybody stand up, would you? Nick's going to lead us. I want you to let the truth of today be such an encouragement to you. Close your eyes and let the Lord pray.